Hey guys, it is Eva and I am here with a new episode of Currently Binging. If this is your first time listening, welcome. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. So make sure you subscribe, rate, follow, and leave a comment because I like to see what you think. So yeah, before we hop into this episode or the meat of this episode, because this is a TV episode, I know after back-to-back movie episodes, we finally have some TV in the mix. You're probably wondering what is going on because this is essentially supposed to be a bi-weekly podcast where I release a new episode bi-weekly. But if you listen to the most recent episode where I discussed Tomb Raider, I told you guys that I was kind of playing a little bit of catch up as far as movies go. And because April, I do have a little bit of space to do catch up, I'm kind of recording as I'm going. So therefore, the cadence of the release of episodes is going to be a little bit quicker. So it's probably going to be a new episode weekly, at least through April. We'll see where we're at the end of the month, and then it will most likely go back to being bi-weekly. So I wanted to get that out of the way first before diving headfirst into this episode. So we are talking TV. I still have I think I only have one other show to talk about. It's a Netflix show. You guys know I like to kind of separate Netflix by itself. So I still need to talk about Jessica Jones. Don't think I forgot because I have not. And I do have some things that I want to say about it because this was an interesting episode. So look for that episode coming soon. But in this episode, we are titling this. You probably already seen the title and you're probably like, what is a mid-finale? I don't know what that is. I thought we were only getting finale episodes biannually or however, whatever, biannually. Well, since Currently Binging is solely about TV shows and movies, then we kind of have the space to discuss what we want, when we want, or I have the space to discuss what I want, when I want. And so because of that, usually I would wait until, so I would do the winter finales and then I would do the spring finales in one episode. So there were two huge episodes of jam-packed content about these shows' finales, and it's kind of a lot. If you actually think about it, it's a lot. You're trying to squeeze a discussion of 8+ shows into one episode. So because now we are solely focused on TV shows and movies, we can take out the shows that end in the middle of a season and put them into their own episode, hence the title mid-finales. If you're still unclear on what a mid-finale is, so essentially, you know how we have mid-premiere shows that premiere in the beginning or in the middle of a season. So a season, usually we have our fall season, which is usually fall 2018 to use 2018 at, or using this upcoming season as an example, fall 2018 to 19. So that will be fall, winter, spring. So usually it's around September to May. And then usually we'll get like mid premieres somewhere around December-ish. Usually when the holidays are happening, just after that, we'll allow the shows to take a long break and we'll get these mid premieres for TV shows. And so a lot of the shows that I'm discussing, or not a lot, but a few of the shows that I'm discussing were mid premiered shows, but there are shows that did premiere in the fall in like September, October-ish, but still ended up ending in March. So therefore they are still going to be a part of this mid-finale episode. Hopefully that made sense. If it didn't, let me know. But yeah, so essentially these are shows that had a finale before all of the shows that are still currently in season have their finales in May or April or whatever. Now that I'm saying this, I probably should have waited for Legends, because I believe this week is the finale, but whatever. whatever, we're already here. We'll just put that with the next finale episode. So yeah, let's get into this. So these shows that I'm going to talk about. Now, I know if you have been listening for a while, I probably sound like a broken record when I start talking about the length of a show within a season, because the fall, winter / spring season is so long, those shows that run from fall to spring have 20 plus episodes jam-packed into the season, and that's a lot, especially when you want the audience to focus on this overarching story that's supposed to span 20 something episodes. So what has been happening, which I'm sounding like a broken record again, what has been happening is that a lot of these shows that have these huge episode orders have been splitting the story arcs in half. So then we have the back half or the fall half that has its own story arc, and then the spring half or the front half, which has its own story arc. And then essentially when we get to the end, it's somehow everything that happened ties together, but you don't feel like you're being stuffed with this super long story that by the time you get to the end of these episodes or at the end of the season, it doesn't make sense. So we had that happening, which I thought was fine and dandy, because essentially you're getting two seasons in one season, even though it's really one season. But you guys know I love short seasons because I feel like it eliminates the need for filler episodes. And I don't know what it is, but I find that recently, and I think part of it is because I watch so much content to the point that I'm starting to weed out the stuff that I like and I don't like, because it's so much of it that I'm finding that not only is the storyline for the entire season important, but also the story for the individual episodes are important, which is why I think for me, I enjoy shorter seasons more, because it eliminates some of the fluff and we can get straight to the story, the meat of the story, and wrap it up and then come back again next season for the next story. And maybe there's a time jump, who knows? With that being said, 911 had 10 episodes. American Crime Story had 9 episodes. How to Get Away with Murder had 15 episodes. And then This Is Us and The Good Doctor had 18 episodes. So when you put it that way, still, this is, I think, the reason why it seemed like This Is Us and The Good Doctor were shorter was because they didn't take as long as a break as our in-season shows did around the holiday. And then This Is Us had that double episode in 1 week for Super Bowl when we found out how Jack died, which we'll get into when we get to that episode. But yeah, so still, really, the only ones that had an actual short season were 911 and American Crime Story. So yeah, let's get into this. We are going to start with How to Get Away with Murder, since that one had their finale first. Pretty much this season, we were trying to figure out, I guess we were supposed to find out how Wes died, which I didn't know that was a thing. I thought we kind of knew how he, or not how he died, but who killed him, which I didn't know was a thing. I thought we, at least I was under the assumption that everyone believed it was Laurel's father who killed him, which in the end, we didn't learn any much new about his death, his actual death, like who killed him, because it was still Laurel's father. But we found out that it was a push from her mother who pretty much instigated his peril, if you will. So we meet Laurel's mother this season, find out she has, I think she was schizophrenic or something along those lines. So essentially Laurel kind of had to be the mother. So it was a role reversal. And so we meet her. We find out that her parents have this really complicated, Laurel's family in general has a really complicated relationship, because when we left off before the mini break that we had, or I don't think it was a mini break, but the winter finale, Laurel had the baby in the elevator and we didn't know if the baby was going to live or die. So we come back, the baby lived. He ended up being born prematurely, or not prematurely, but early. Still unclear as to what caused her to go into labor, if it was Frank when he accidentally elbowed her in the stomach or if she was drugged. I may have missed it because they focused on it in one of the episodes, but I don't remember them actually, like a doctor actually saying, this is why you went into labor. Like, I don't know. But essentially her father came, swooped the baby up. And then we have this whole thing where part of the storyline is Laurel trying to get her baby back. And then Annalise spearheading this class action lawsuit. So all of this is going on. To save time, I'm mostly going to talk about some of the highlights for me and some of the things I liked and I didn't like this season. So the Laurel and her father and her mother whole thing was a little bit frustrating to watch, especially with the whole, I mean, this goes back to when I talk about shows or even movies when kids are taken from their parents. And I don't know, for some reason it stresses me out because clearly, yeah, she has this history, but as far as what's going on, like if I was with Child Protective Services or something, I would see that there's clearly something going on in this relationship between Laura and her father. So I don't know if I'm going to just trust her father's word and then put the baby in her father's guardianship automatically. It may be one of those situations where like a foster situation has to happen or something like that, because clearly something is going on here, especially if you have just the whole circumstance of like how everyone was reacting and acting to the whole trauma of her having the baby early, her being in a hospital and the baby being taken away. Something's going on. I feel like I would investigate that more before I just start handing the baby off to someone. I don't know. That's just me personally. But yeah. And then the fact that Simon actually survived that gunshot to the head, was they were pushing it a little bit. I mean, I feel like he could have died, but I guess for the story, as far as it relates to Michaela's story arc, I guess it aids in that. Well, it does aid in that, because in the end, she actually ends up doing something that negatively impacts his future. She ends up calling ICE and having him deported, even though he was supposed to be working with them to avoid all of that. But I will say the thing that I did enjoy this season was the Scandal and How to Get Away crossover. I was a little hesitant when this first was announced because in my head, I was like, how are they going to make this work? Why would Annalise and Olivia ever meet? I feel like they're on two completely opposite trajectories. So why would their paths cross ever? But as we were building up to these crossover episodes and everything that was happening with Olivia and her personal and professional life on Scandal, and then everything that was happening with this class action suit with Annalise, I was like, okay, this is how they're going to bring them together. And I honestly enjoyed it. I think both women, because they're different, but they're alike because they're both very ambitious. They both expect to do and say things and for people like to fall in line and to do whatever it is that they're saying that they're doing. They're very much in charge, but they also have a lot of faults to their characters. And I think bringing them in and having them meet and them being messy, if you will, in their own ways and seeing each other's mess and being able to call each other out on their mess in a way that people people who they know may have done before, but they weren't really hearing. But to hear it from someone coming from the outside who you essentially have some type of a respect for, I think was a made a bigger impact. And therefore, I really enjoyed them together. And then that they were able to work past that and actually come together and work together to get the class action suit heard and then have it all work in their favor in the end. So I did enjoy that crossover. What else from this season or from the back or the, what else did I enjoy from this season? Oh, this I did not enjoy. Bonnie, so we killed off Wes, and you guys know I did not know how we were going to move forward with Wes' death, especially after I thought we wrapped up everything surrounding his death or whatever. And his death played a lot. I mean, I knew he would play, his character would still have an impact, especially since Laurel was having his baby. But with him dying, I was like, okay, this opens the door for more of our core members to die. Who could die and who should die? So in my mind, I'm like, Frank and Bonnie, you guys have come close so many times. I feel like if someone's to die, it's one of you two this season. The reason why I didn't think it would be Frank is because of he was just too much emotionally. He wasn't as Frank-y as he has been in previous seasons. I mean, he did kill someone this season, but it wasn't like he wasn't as in the trenches as he usually is because he was so much worried about and involved with Laurel. So I didn't think that it would be him. So I was like, oh, it has to be Bonnie. So when we have this car accident and we're left with a cliffhanger, I'm like, okay, they killed off Bonnie. I'm okay with that. I mean, I expected Bonnie to die a couple of seasons ago, so my shock in her death would not be that great. And so therefore, if she was to die, it would not be, I don't think that it would hit me as hard as Wes' death did. So I'm expecting her to die. We come back the following week. We're 5 seconds into the episode. They're dragging out the reveal of who was in this car crash. I'm like, oh my gosh, Bonnie did not die. So we find out that it was actually Denver who died in the crash. Which I was like, okay, I mean, seeing how he was involved throughout or how he fit as far as his connection with Laurel's father and his how he had a hand in things that he probably should not have had a hand in, I was like, okay, he can die. It's okay, whatever. But that whole trying to fake us out with who died, is Bonnie in the car crash? I mean, they were doing too much. And essentially, Bonnie still lives. And I think the main reason why Bonnie still lives is because we come to find out that she still has a child out there. And how we end the season is Frank goes to sign up for law classes. And some kid is there. So I don't know if this kid is supposed to be Bonnie's kid. I have no idea because I feel like I need to go back and rewatch just that last part. Because I rewinded it a couple of times and I still was like, did I miss something? Did they show us like who this kid is supposed to be? Or are we just supposed to assume that this kid is possibly Bonnie's kid? I don't know. So I feel like that's why Bonnie is still around, because we're going to get even deeper into her character's development and get more history and background on her with this whole kid thing. So we shall see. Also, it'll be interesting to see how the Keating 5, now 4, fit into the next season, because we have Oliver and Connor still at this point anticipating heading down the aisle. Laurel, she has her baby back, so she kind of has her happy ending, even though she's essentially put her father in jail and is estranged from her mother. And then we have Asher and Michaela, I believe they ended split. Yeah, they ended not together. Ended the season not together, which I forgot to mention that whole Michaela and Marcus thing, I think was an unnecessary move on the part of the writing, because I don't feel like it was needed. And if they needed something to break up Asher and Michaela, they could have used something else, especially since, I mean, the only thing I think of is that they, because this is Scandal's last season, they can possibly bring Marcus over into How to Get Away, and he becomes some type of a character in this, in How to Get Away, at least next season, which I hope they don't do that. I don't know. I feel like it was a cheap like move for them to do that. And I was like, oh please, as I was watching their whole like interaction throughout that episode, I was just like, oh please don't let them do this, please don't let them do this. And then they did it, because I genuinely like Asher and Michaela together, because I feel like they balance each other out. But we still have another season, so we will see. Well, actually, do we have another season? I'm not sure, because I don't think that they announced yet officially, but I'm assuming that we have another season of How to Get Away, and we shall see what happens with that. So yeah, that's all I have for How to Get Away. Let me know what you thought of the finale, if you had some of the same thoughts that I had. But we're gonna move on to American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. This season, now I know I talked a little bit about the first season, which centered around OJ Simpson. This season was a slower burn, if you will. It was still a good season, but it wasn't as, it wasn't as punchy as like OJ Simpson. And I don't know if it's because the OJ Simpson trial was this big thing that happened and like everyone remembered it, and so it kind of just like moved. Whereas, which I enjoyed about this season, was that we start after, or we see Andrew Cunanan kill Gianni Versace, but then we go from there and we work backwards and kind of see him leading up to killing him, but backwards, if that makes sense. And then we end back in the presence after the fact, leading up to him, to Andrew Cunanan killing himself. So I liked how they kind of worked that out, because if kind of put more, I don't know, it made it a little bit more dramatic, because you're kind of like, how did he get to be like this? And it's kind of one of those things where like the OJ Simpson season, it was kind of like, yeah, this happened. You have actual proof where you can go back and watch actual footage from that whole trial and be like, yes, this happened, this actually happened. But with this one, because everyone who was immediately impacted, so like Andrew Cunanan, Versace, all Andrew Cunanan's victims, they're all dead, and Andrew Cunanan is not here to tell us exactly why he did what he did. It's all kind of based off of police findings and then this book that was written, which I keep saying I need to go look and see like what this book is based off of, which I believe is like part interview, part police findings. I can be completely wrong, don't quote me on that, but because you don't have that actual, like, you can go back and be like, oh, this is how it happened, it's a little bit more of, oh, this happened, but you can kind of see where they kind of embellished some things, if you will. But overall, I enjoyed the season. I think Darren Criss did a really great job portraying Andrew Cunanan, and I was really excited when I found out that he was going to portray the killer, because we're so used to him being like the good guy or the nice guy or the sweet guy or the funny guy. So I thought that this would be a really different role for him, and I think he did a really good job. Another standout performance for me was from Cody Fearn, who played David. And actually, the guy who played Jeffrey Trail, Finn Wittrock, he actually did real good. I think the thing that this really highlighted for me was it kind of made you feel more for the victims than for Andrew Cunanan, which, because we're so focused, like, yeah, it's called The Assassination of Gianni Versace, and initially I thought we would follow Versace's story more, but we actually end up following Andrew Cunanan. And even, I just think that this overall was just a tragic story. So even with us following this killer. And yeah, you're like, oh, this is tragic. But even in the end, I didn't really feel bad for him. And I feel like that they really highlighted, it made you feel more for the victims, if anything, especially David Madsen and Jeffrey Trail, because it was just like how, like, they were young, these young these young people whose life ended abruptly in a gruesome way. And we still really don't know why. Speculation, jealousy, and is definitely in a mix somewhere. But yeah, so I think it really highlighted that. And then also highlighting, like, yeah, Andrew Cannon killed Versace, but he also killed all of these other men before him. Because I think because Versace is Versace, we kind of like forget that this guy went on a murdering spree. Also, just the whole story, like, leading up to, and that this is actual real life, like, his whole journey from his first kill leading all the way up to his last kill, and all the opportunities that he could have been caught, to me is just so frustrating, because how early he could have been caught, those were lives that could have been saved and essentially were lost. So it was just a tragic story all the way around. And even like his whole thing with his family and kind of like his father, when we finally meet his father, and kind of see how Andrew took off ran off in the way that he did. Like, I still don't really, like, I still did not feel bad for him. I felt more for the victims than I did for him. But his story is still a very tragic story. So I think they did a good job in that. And I think that Darren Criss did a very phenomenal job portraying Andrew Cannon. And I don't know, he just did really good. And it would be some episodes I would be like, oh my gosh, he is like crazy. But yeah, I don't really have that much more to say about this season. It's definitely a different feel than the first season, for sure. Again, it was 9 seasons. This was actually supposed to be the third season story, but it got switched with the Hurricane Katrina story, which is still tentative for season 3. But I've been reading that might also get switched with the season 4 story, which is supposed to be about Clinton and Lewinsky. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, if you watched American Crime Story, what did you think about this season? Who stood out to you? What were some of your standout moments from this season? And yeah, so let's move on. 9-1-1. 10 episodes. Thank you. Now, I'm very surprised because I have 2 shows that center around, I don't want to say the hospital, because they're both not a hospital, but they center around, or they're medical shows. There we go. They're medical shows, which for me is not something that I generally watch, because I used to watch medical shows when I was younger, and that just aided in me. So I'm a slight hypochondriac, so that aided in me believing I had things that I didn't have. So I kind of steered away from medical shows. But 9-1-1, created by Ryan Murphy, who's just killing the game right now. And I usually generally like his shows. The only one I will not watch is the hotel one, because just, you guys know me, scary, demonic, all that stuff. I just won't watch it. But 9-1-1, it seemed interesting. And then when I saw that the legendary Angela Bassett was in it, I don't think you guys know how much of a fave Angela Bassett is of mine as far as when it comes to actresses. I just think she's amazing. So when I saw that she was in this show, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to give this a shot and I'm gonna have to watch this. So I watched the first episode tentatively, because like I said, it's a medical drama, and that's usually not my thing. And I was like, okay. Then I watched the second episode. I was like, okay. And then it kind of like pulled me in. So I watched the whole season. And I actually really enjoyed this. I think every character, they did a good job connecting us to every character within the series, or at least our core characters in their stories, which is something that is good that they were able to do, seeing as there were only 10 episodes. And there's really not any character that I don't like. I will say, though, that Angela Bassett's character is my favorite character out of all of them, Athena. Because she was just like, she was no holds barred. She didn't take any crap. And she was just like the realest. So I really enjoyed her. I also really enjoyed Athena and Hen's scenes when they were together, because they just came up as real and as true good friends who can actually sit and have conversation and like to keep it real with each other. So I really enjoyed that. Now we're going to get into some of the things that I had some problems with. Buck and Abby. I'm probably the only one, because I tried to look on social media and I couldn't find anything. So I think I'm the only one who was not buying the Buck and Abby relationship. And it's not even the age difference that's the problem. I just was like, I felt more chemistry between Abby and Bobby than I did between Abby and Buck. And I thought for a hot second that they were going to go in that direction, especially when Buck, the whole, what was that? Was that Friday the 13th? No. Full moon, the full moon episode where everyone had bad luck. And Buck and Abby went on a date and Buck ended up choking. She had to do the thing where they cut a hole in your throat to get air into you or whatever. So you end up in the hospital and she's sitting by his bedside and Bobby shows up. And I was like, okay, I feel more chemistry between those two, but y'all really gonna do this while he in the hospital in the bed? But they didn't go that way. I mean, it's already, 911 has already been renewed, so they could still go in that direction next season. I would not be mad if they do, but I'm just saying I felt more of a connection between those two than I did between Abby and Buck. And I am glad that Abby decided to take her trip solo and that Buck did not try to go with her, because I feel like her trip, she's going to come back and be a completely new person. And therefore it opens up room for a possible Abby and Bobby thing. Now, if you guys felt the same thing about, I don't want to call them a triangle, because they're not really a triangle, but if you felt the same way, let me know. But then we did end with Bobby and Athena going on a date, which I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about that, because, you know, they did have a little bit of chemistry. So when he was like, oh, I'm going on a date, I was like, oh, he probably going on a date with Athena. And then he did go on a date with Athena. So I don't know. We'll see. I feel like it's the first season, so they're trying to figure out who fits with who. But I don't know if I like Athena with Bobby, just because they're both strong characters, but she needs somebody like, I don't know how to explain it. Even though I will say for Bobby that I do actually like him as a character, and I feel that Peter Cross did a really good job playing this leader of this firefighter crew and someone who everyone looks up to, but he also did a really good job portraying his more real side, where he's struggling and he's been carrying this whole weight because he blames himself for his family dying, which essentially it is his fault, and he kind of carries this weight around him. So I do think he did a great job of giving or portraying those emotions. So yeah. I also really like the structure of the episodes, because there were only 10 episodes, so there weren't a lot of filler episodes. But I will say the full moon episode did feel a little fillery to me. Just a tiny bit. But I mean, what happened in the episode did tie a lot into what happened the remainder of the season, so it wasn't as fillery. But initially, in the beginning, I was like, okay, this feels like a filler episode. But I did like how the episodes were structured, as they had the 911 calls weaved throughout the episode. So it never felt like a dull moment. It always felt like they were moving. So yeah, I mean, that's really all I have to say about 911. As I said, it was already renewed and we will get a season 2. So I'm excited to see how they move forward with this show, and hopefully they keep it as exciting as this season was. This Is Us. per usual, an emotional roller coaster. I do feel like, though, that this season I didn't have as many like ugly cry moments as I did in season one, but there were still some emotions that ran through me while watching this season. So the second half of the show, we finally find out how Jack died, and it was so frustrating because it was something as, I don't want to say simple, but it was just like he died from smoke inhalation. And after we all thought it was going to be like this big dramatic affair, he died in the hospital. After we thought everything was fine, everyone made it out of this house fire. And then it's like, oh no, he died from smoke inhalation. And the part that got me, which I think because I knew going in that we would still see him in flashbacks, that I didn't really have like that much of a breakdown when the doctor tells Rebecca that he passed, which shout out to Mandy Moore because she like was a boss in that episode. She did really good just portraying every single emotion that she went through in that episode. But when she saw him in that bed and she broke down and you could see the reflection of his body in the window, tears, all types of tears. So that was the part that got me. Also the wedding episode, which was our finale episode, which I thought was a really good episode. Kind of seeing Kate's journey, because she's always, while Kevin has had his issues with their father, they all have their issues with their father's death, but he's kind of been working his way through it. This season, first he had like the whole alcohol thing, and then he went through rehab, so he's kind of been slowly working his way through it. But I feel like Kate has this heavy weight on her, and especially after we find out that she blames herself because Jack went back into the house to save the dog. So kind of like seeing all that come full circle. So seeing that she blames herself a lot very much for her father's death, and she's been carrying this weight. So to kind of see her let go in this finale leading up to the wedding, and then at the reception for Kevin's speech, for him to get up there and just say to his family, like, we can exhale, and like all of them physically exhaling, I teared up at that moment because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so emotional. But yeah, I was just like, you just felt the weight lift off and they just felt lighter. So I'm excited to see how we move forward into the next season and how the adult big three move forward, because now they don't all have this heavy weight. And I think it also ties in because now we know how he died. So now there's not this big heavy cloud just overshadowing them as adults. And now we can kind of, that cloud has lifted and we kind of see how they move forward, even though still in the future, I don't think that it's going to be, I mean, they're going to have happy moments, but I think there's still going to be a lot of struggle, especially with how we get a little flash forward, if you will, of some things in relation to how we end it. So Deja, I like Deja as a character. I was excited when she moved back in permanently, but then we see that she has not been dealing well with it because she is a teenager and her mom did just abandon her. So, I mean, granted, all of that, I could see why and understand why she reacted the way she did. But when we're at the wedding and she finally, it seems like, has that turnaround moment where she's like, okay, I shouldn't be mad at this family who's let me in there. I should appreciate them. But then that lady said that one thing that like tipped her off, and she went out there and tore up Randall's car, which I was like, I don't know why she's so mad at Randall. I don't know. It's teenagers, emotions. So clearly it's going to be a bumpy road with Deja's storyline moving forward. And then we also see the roles are going to reverse for Toby and Kate, where Kate is going to have to take on a lot of the weight in the relationship because it looks like Toby's going to go through some type of bout of with depression. And we learned from his parents, because we meet his parents in the finale, that after his divorce from his first wife, he went to this really deep depression. And so he clearly has a history with it, and it looks like it's going to hit him in the future. So not sure what it's going to be from, but that's going to be a bumpy road. But Kevin seems to be able to get a happy storyline for once, because it looks like Kevin and Beth's sister, cousin, because she's not like blood sister, but she's related. Looks like they end up together. So he has some happiness in his future. But yeah, I think it's going to be another bumpy emotional roller coaster next season. And I don't know if my heart can take it. But what did you guys think of this season? What did you think of the wedding episode? What do you think about what's to come in the future? Let me know your thoughts on This Is Us. But we are going to move into the final show, which is The Good Doctor. Again, another medical drama, which I was not... I talked about this. The only reason why I decided to watch The Good Doctor... See, everything has a reason for why I do it. The only reason why I decided to give The Good Doctor a chance... For me, a chance is one episode, and then if I like the first episode, the second episode. If I don't like the second episode, then I'm officially out. So for The Good Doctor, I gave it a chance because Freddie Highmore was starring in it. You guys know that I just thought he was amazing in Bates Motel, and the whole storyline and this whole character, I wanted to see how he would portray it. And I thought that, you guys know, I believe I talked about it, the first episode sucked me in, and I was like, oh my gosh, and it was emotional and so teary. So what I do think, though, because this was 18 episodes, we did for sure have some filler episodes, and I think especially like towards the rundown into the final few episodes, I want to say kind of where we had Morgan come in, Morgan then the other new doctor come in, is where I started to be like, okay, what is going on? There's too much happening. We're adding all these extra characters that I don't think we really need. And so we kind of bumped up the core crew and added these two new people who I genuinely don't have a connection to. And one of them, they're really not helping their cause because she's just downright annoying and downright mean. And I don't think she's a really mean, like, I think eventually we're gonna find out that she's not really mean. I just think that she knows what she wants and she's going after it. But I don't know, I just did not think that we need those two characters. I do though think that if we're going to trim, we have Jared, who I think we could have lost him earlier on. Don't get me wrong. I liked Jared as a character a little bit initially. He always was kind of a one-dimensional character, especially since he started off, we opened up this season. We're going back to the beginning. We opened up the season with him and Claire, and then kind of like following their story. Then he gets fired because of how he reacted to how Claire was treated. And then we get into the second half where he's let back in. And then we have Morgan, who kind of these last few episodes, pretty much she's trying to get rid of the competition. And she's like, look, you're not competition. You're not going to get this job. So let me set you up with this offer. So if that's the road we're going to take, then they just need to take the road and not drag out his departure. Because at this point, we need to get rid of the low hanging fruit. And Jared is kind of a low hanging fruit when we look at the core crew. Then we have Alex, which, I mean, he's likable, but he's kind of toeing the line of, I feel like I don't know enough about him to care if he was to stay or go. I do feel like him and Jared kind of had a little more of a connection this in the finale, but we're talking about Jared, who is possibly out the door himself. So I don't know how good of a thing it is for him to be linked to someone who possibly has one foot in, one foot out. So we have, those are two possible people who can be gone, and it would not be that great of an impact, I don't believe. Morgan also could be gone, but I feel like for Morgan, I get why she was needed, but I do feel like they have something there that they can develop for season two to kind of redeem some of her actions from this first season, especially at the end when Melendez says to her, look, you're going to kill someone. We know she struggled with people or with patients dying in previous episodes. So he says to her, look, you're going to kill someone. I hope that there's a doctor who's going to be there who has your back, because of how much she was just like, she knows Sean is her number one competition. So anything that she could possibly get him out of the running and her to the front, she's going to take advantage of. But I do think that they have something there that they can develop, which could possibly sometime down the road make her a likable character, or one of those characters that we hate to like or like to hate, whichever way you want to go. But yeah, as far as Claire, I think Claire has had some good development. We did get an episode where we got to see her mom, so we got a little bit more backstory on her. I did feel like her and Melendez, they were trying to push together for a little bit, and then it kind of seemed like they went off in a totally different direction. I mean, it's only season one, so they could definitely go there in season two, because we do know that Melendez ended in Jessica, that's her name. They ended, so I felt like with them, with their relationship ending, it opened up a door for them to kind of push Claire and Melinda together, which I think is still very much a possibility, because there is some obvious chemistry there between those two. So I'm sure they're going to go somewhere with that. But we did, when I saw the previews for the finale and Glassman telling Sean, because, you know, Glassman and Sean, they've had their struggles this season. Sean wanting more independence and Glassman kind of not wanting to let go, but then he finally did, and which had Sean in all types of situations. One being Leah, which I'm glad we did not see Leah again the second half. And I honestly don't want to see her in the future. I feel like she's she's selfish in the way that she's thinking about herself. And because of how or who Sean is, I don't think that that is necessarily a good thing for him. Same with the neighbor, which is why I was like, it was so frustrating, because obviously the neighbor is taking advantage of him, but like Sean just thinks like, oh, he's a friend, like we hang out, he's cool. But I wanted so bad for either Sean to come to a realization that he was not a friend, or for someone in his circle to come to a realization that, or like to come to his house or something and be like, what is going on? This dude's clearly taking advantage of you. But I think he kind of in his own way realized it after the one episode when the guy had his TV and everything. But still, Sean, change your locks or something, put on an alarm system, notify somebody, because there is no way somebody should just be walking in your house and borrowing your whole TV set. Just FYI. But yeah, so they kind of struggle. So then when Sean, after that whole thing, Sean goes back to Glassman and he's like, you know, I do want you to be part of my life. And then he finds out about the whole brain tumor thing, and just seeing him like trying to find a solution and Glassman being like, no. And I get it, because you're like, he came to accept that, okay, I'm going to die. There is no fix for this. But you have this one person who's like, no, but we can come with a way. There has to be a way. And they're constantly, even though you're like, no, there's not a way, stop, leave me alone, they're still doing it. I could see why he was getting frustrated. But then Sean actually did come up with a way to fix it, even though along the way he had a physician, what's it called, a physician error, where he caused a blood hemorrhage, or you guys, I don't know medical terms, but essentially a patient could have died and it would have been Sean's fault. And that's how we get to the whole decision of Sean finally realizes the way to fix it. And Melendez is like, look, we all know, even Claire, she's like, we all know because of who Sean is and because Sean is autistic, that they're going to use that against him. And that's going to be a way for them to fire him. But had it been one of them who had made the mistake, they would have been rolled up and it would have been, they move on. So their whole thing was like, we fix it. The patient's going to live. We're not going to report it and we're going to move on. Let's go have drinks. But because Sean is who he is, he's like, no, I have to tell Andrews the truth, I forgot the whole thing that Glassman was like, oh, if Sean messes up or makes an error, then he can be released and I'll step down from my position. Like, I forgot about that whole thing until the final episode when Andrews brought it back up. So we leave, our cliffhanger is not if Glassman is going to live or die, because we find out that he went through, had the biopsy, and his prognosis is way better than what it originally was at the beginning of the episode. But we're left with Glassman and Sean walking into Andrews' office to tell him about or for Sean to tell him about his error that he made. So I'm pretty sure he's not going to get fired just because the show is called The Good Doctor. So he has to be a doctor somewhere. And I think that they've developed enough of the characters for us to be attached to them, where I don't think that Sean is just going to up and go to a different hospital. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't know. That's just me personally, but we shall see where we end up next season. But yeah, I enjoyed all of these mid finales and I enjoyed these shows this season. And that is why I am a big advocate of shorter seasons, because it just drastically helps the story overall. But I'm going to leave it at that. I did want to say, I'm going to say this at the beginning, but I forgot to mention that the CW finally announced renewals for fall 2018. All the DC shows have been renewed along with Riverdale. You guys know those were the only shows that I was the most worried about. I mean, I was not expecting any of them to be canceled. I was hearing a little bit of chatter of possibly people saying like possibly Arrow could be canceled, but Arrow was the pioneer, was like the launching pad for all of our DC shows. So I feel like once you start canceling Arrow, then you have to start canceling a lot of them, a lot of the lower rating ones like Legends and Supergirl. But I was not worried, especially when earlier in the year, CW announced that they were extending their days. So instead of just having new content on Monday through Friday, they're now extended it by a day, and they are joining the Sunday night TV show lineup, which will be interesting to see what actually ends up on Sunday. I am crossing my fingers that they do not move Arrow again, because I felt some type of way when they moved Arrow from Wednesdays, because Arrow has always been on Wednesdays since it's been on TV, and then they moved it to Thursdays this season, which was fine with me because I watch Gotham and I watch Arrow. But now if they move it to Sundays, I'm going to be upset, because right now I don't really watch anything on Sundays. Sundays are kind of my catch-up days, if you will. So yeah, that's all I have to say about all of that. I will be back soon with a new episode. I have A Wrinkle in Time coming up. I did finally see that. So that episode is coming up. I'm also going to be discussing Jessica Jones in an upcoming episode, possibly Ready Player One. I said this in the Tomb Raider episode, but now that it's released and I've seen some of the reviews and feedback, I'm even more intrigued. So possibly Ready Player One as well. But I will talk to you guys in the next episode.